that we're on a regular basis. So those of you who are here for the first time or are just getting here, we're going to encourage you just to sign in just as a record of what class you made. And if there are any you miss later, you can kind of make up for them later if you want to do the whole class. So it's important for you to sign your name in. So I'm just going to start this with Danny. Has everyone met Danny and James right there? They're awesome people. Awesome, awesome people. And then I'll go. Yeah, we got to go right here to go. And so feel free to sign in your name just so you recognize what class that you're here for. And again, that'll help you in the process. I also want to encourage you, pick up one of these books in the back. If you have $20, you can contribute. We'd love that. Helps us to defray the cost. But this is a Bible study. I encourage you this year, make it a New Year's resolution. Go through this, Bible Studies for a Firm Foundation. You will read more of the Word in the next 3 months that you've probably read in the last 3 months. It's amazing to go through that. So I encourage you to get that in the back on your way out. Also want to encourage you, guests, make sure if you would, leave us that guest connect card so that we could be in touch with you with that. And then also, if you haven't had a chance to fill out and turn in those surveys for life classes, we would really need your help for that. Just pick the top three that you'd be interested in. That'll help us in our process of the next wave of life classes. Just a reminder about that. So we're in Deeper Life. These are some of the classes that we've gone through. The revelation of God as Father was number one. Abba. Grace, God's undeserved love and power to transform us. It's God's grace that transforms our lives. Forgiveness, the distinctive trait of Christianity. There's nothing else like it, where we receive so much forgiveness, but we're also given a reservoir to offer others forgiveness so that we free ourselves from hurts, but we also free others for the possibility of relationship, reconciliation. It's a powerful thing that we have in our relationships with our families, with our church family, the power of God's forgiveness unleashed in our lives. We talked about the power of the Holy Spirit present in our lives, the power of God's Word, the Bible, to inform us and inspire us and all of the things that God's Word does in our lives. We talked about the identity and calling of God. Who is God? What does God do? We talked about God, in essence, being a relationship. And in essence, what God does is relationship. So if you're focused on what God does as religion, you're missing the point. God does relationship. And so it's an amazing transformational thing when you begin to get what this is in essence. And then the last couple weeks, we talked about the identity of God's people, also called by Jesus the church, that Greek word that was used, ecclesia. We talked about how the Bible describes the church not as a building or a social club or a weekend worship service or religion, but how God describes his people as a family, as his body, as a fellowship that's to be unbroken, and all of those things that we talked about. And then we talked about doobies. Do you guys remember we talked about doobies in church? We talked about not the doobies that you get high on. We talked about just those two words, do and be. And often our focus is what we do. What do you do? Oh, I got to do this. I got to do that. And we lose the essence of humanity. We're not focused on who we are. So we talked about don't doobie. Be do, all right? First, put first your identity, and then the calling will come out of it. Ask God, who am I? Who am I? Who was I created to be? What is my purpose? And when you begin to understand those things, the calling comes kind of naturally after that. You might have to ask still for it, but it just begins to make sense. God made you for a purpose. And the ultimate purpose is to be in relationship with him and with others. And when you get that, then you start focusing on not just the stuff that you do that doesn't matter, but you start focusing on the stuff that does, that you do that does matter. Somebody said it's very sad when you climb the ladder of success and you get to the top and find out that the ladder was leaning against the wrong wall. And all this time you've been focused on what you're doing and how you're going to achieve and all of those things. And then you find out it's frivolous. And so we've got to focus on our being so that then we can really nail down what we're doing. And so we talked about the focus of being of the church. And we said the natural outgrowth of being the church is doing what the church is called to do. So today we're looking at today and next week. We're going to talk about some conceptual stuff today and some more practical stuff next week. But we're talking about the calling of the church. The identity of the church is where we've been for the last 2 weeks. And now we're talking about the calling of the church. By the way, in a couple weeks, we're going to talk about the identity and calling of this particular church. So if you've been hanging around a little while and you're like, I get a lot, but I'm just wondering about the history of this place. I'm wondering about, you know, the operation of this place, the purpose, how you understand yourself, what you guys do, why you do it, those kind of things. We're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk about five prophetic principles that historically for 110 years have called us to who God wants us to be. And so it's going to be fun when we talk about the identity and calling of Christ, of Embassy Church, which used to be called Christ Church, which used to be called Full Gospel Tabernacle. So we'll go through all of that together. But today we're talking about the calling of the church, capital C, big church, universal, all throughout history. What is the calling of the church? Is the book up there? No. Yeah, all right. I got to see what slide because I'm on a different thing. We already talked about it. So the calling of the church, and by the way, you have notes if you want to fill them in. And some of you might be new to that because maybe you haven't been here the last few weeks, but we provide notes, so they should be in the seat in front of you. And here's your first opportunity to participate in a mechanical way, and that is by filling in this first line of blanks there. The calling of the church is to disciple the nations. The calling of the church is to disciple the nations. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20, it reads, "And Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the earth.'" I would love, if we were in a smaller class, I'd love to hear your observations about this. Just your thoughts. But we're recording, and that's going to be a challenge. You know what? I'll repeat you. What's your thoughts about this? Just two, maybe one or two people. What hits you about what we just read? We're in a class. Go ahead. Go ahead, Efani. Therefore? Wow, that hits you. Wow. You know, my dad, when he used to preach and teach, he still does, but when I used to hear him preach and teach, he says, whenever in the Bible you see a therefore, you need to ask what it's there for. Right? And it's interesting because therefore, all authority in heaven and earth has been given me. Go therefore. So that's powerful because think about this. Jesus has just given himself to the cross. He's just given himself to the bigotry, to the racism, to the shame, to the pain of this world. He's given himself to the powers of governments, all of those things. And he's laid his life down. He's given himself to us for our sins. And then he has, 3 days later, by the Holy Spirit, risen from the dead. He's raised to life again, and he's talking to his followers who, you know, have never seen anything like this. And I know it's a fantastical story to a lot of skeptics and disbelievers, but the way I say to them is, explain to me the growth of Christianity in the first 300 years without the resurrection, and then I'll believe that the resurrection didn't happen. There's no other way to explain the explosive growth of Christianity when it was opposed by religion and politics, the mighty two together, in a way that it was so oppressive, and yet it expanded all over the world before it had any state support whatsoever. The only way to explain what happened to those disciples is that they saw Jesus come out of the tomb. And now he's sitting there talking to them, and he's communicating with them, and he says, therefore, I have all authority now in heaven and on earth. Therefore, what's another thought? Thank you, Efani.
Go.
What's another thought? What else hit you? Go ahead. Yeah, say it out. What's that? Observe. That word hits you. I'm going to get to that in a minute. I love that, but I'm going to get to that in a minute. Because that you just set me up for about 10 minutes from now. All right? Another one. Go ahead, say it.
Authority.
Authority. I have the authority. This is not pluralism. This is not political correctness. This is authority. God is God. And if God has a son, his name is Jesus. And if God, if somebody died on the cross for us, his name is Jesus. If somebody rose from the dead, his name is Jesus. All authority. Can you say amen? Boy, you guys are good. You guys are good. What else is hitting you? Just real quick. What else? Go ahead, say it out, Julia. Yeah, yeah, that word behold. Like, don't miss this one. I will be with you to the very end of the age. All over the world, for all of time, I will be with you. In other words, he's like, listen, look, you got to check it out. Look, yo. And so there you go. I heard another word. Did I hear the word make? Is that what I heard? Yeah, Susan said make. Go, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. You know, in Greek language, there's imperatives just like there are in other languages in the structure of grammar. And in this one, the word go is not the imperative. The word make is the imperative. What we're called to obey is making disciples, and going is just a process. If you're going to make disciples, you got to go. You got to you know, walk over to somebody. You got to walk across the room or go across the world or something like that. As you are going is the right way to translate, the best way to translate. As you are going, make disciples. Go ahead. Amir. Yassin. Middle Eastern name. I got them confused because they all sound the same. Yassin, Amir sound exactly the same, right? Just kidding. I'm just talking like a crazy American. So go ahead. All nations. All nations. Of all nations. And even Bethel has let us know that God might have in mind that you make disciple of a nation. That you affected nations so powerfully that a nation... Do you know that Uganda was controlled by evil? And we know what happened? Do you know that in recent days, the president of Uganda has declared that that country belongs to the Lord? And they have appointed ministers of prayer, ministers of morals, all of those things. And the AIDS epidemic that was going on all throughout Southern Africa, the great... storyline of all of that zone is Uganda, because the AIDS epidemic that was going like this is now gone like this because of what. Make disciples of nations, okay? But also make disciples of people from all nations, all right? So it's individuals. We're not just out to change a country, right? By the way, we don't want to change a country politically. We want to change the heart of a country. Can you say amen? We want people to love one another. That's the key to this. But it's loving people individual by individual. Did I see one more hand? See, I thought so. Yeah.
Teaching.
You know why you picked that one? Because that's what God made you. That's who you are. You got to do that because that's who you were made to be. It's amazing. What's that? It's awesome. Have you met Chaplain Todd and Michelle? Meet them. They're amazing people. Hey, we have ministers. You know, if you're a missionary or a chaplain or something in like credentialed ministry, we're all in ministry. But if you're in that kind of call into credentialed ministry, I just want to be able to see, just real quick, just stand if you're there. That's the Zimmermans. That's you guys. Look at this. Credentialed ministry right here. Yeah, amen. So what's the first step to discipleship? I mean, teaching and observing. Now I'll get there. Teaching them everything I have commanded you. This whole thing of teaching them to observe, not just head knowledge, but practice. Putting it into practice. Making these observations, not just mentally, but a part of your lifestyle. teaching. This is what discipleship, somebody says, disciple the nations. What does that mean? It means what this is saying. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Teach them, instruct them in all that I've commanded you, to observe all that I've commanded you. And this is what discipleship is. And discipleship is never done alone. It's always done in the presence of the Father and in the presence of his family. So we have the Father, we have his Son Jesus, who empowers us. We have the Holy Spirit who comes and is present with us. But we also have the family of God. And you know what I love about this scripture? It's not written to one person to do this work. It's written to a collective group of people. You see, it's not on you to disciple the nations. It's on y'all. I love going southern once in a while, okay? It's on you all. It's on, if I'm going to go with my Jersey roots, it's not on you, it's on yous. It's on all of y'alls, all of yous. It's a collective thing. We can disciple people much easier when we're all doing it. Say it out loud. Together. Man, that was beautiful. Hey, you want to show off? Do that one more time. Ready? Together. Oh, man. What? I'm sorry. One more time. Together. Wow, that was awesome. God, we want to do this together. We want to do this together with you. We want to do it together with each other. We want to see people who don't know your love in this city to know your love. We want children who are unloved to know your love through your people. We want fatherless children, abused children, both born and unborn. We want them to know your love. We want dads who are struggling to stay in, and even dads who have checked out, to know your love and be transformed. We want moms the same, checked in, checked out, whatever. Lord, we want moms to know your love, Father. We want people to know you, Father, and how much you care for them, and to know your family and to be cared for in your family. Lord, we want this for Embassy Church. We want it for every church around us, for every ministry. We can't, this harvest is too great for this church alone. But we're also recognizing there's more room in this house. There's more seating capacity. There's more rooms, Lord. So fill up this house, Lord, with people who are coming to know your love, Lord. Call us, God. Let us hear your call to disciple nations. Lord, we are on Embassy Row. It's like crazy where we are. What greater opportunity is there to make disciple of all nations than for people who live among nations? We pray that the IMF, the World Bank, the OAS, God, the embassies around us, the universities that are so filled with international people, every place around us. Lord, we pray for South Americans, for Lord, North Americans, for Asians, God, Africans, Lord, every continent, God, every island nation, Father. We pray in the name of Jesus for those who call themselves Christian, Jewish, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, Lord, whatever it is. We know that Jesus, you are the only one who died on the cross for our sins, who rose from the dead, and the world must come to know you, Father. So we ask, Lord, that you would empower us by your Holy Spirit so that we could do what you have called us to do. And we pray that we would do what you have called us to do by being who you've called us to be. Lord, by being your family, your body, your fellowship, God, your people in public with a purpose, God. Lord, everything that you've called us to be, God, help us to be that so that it would be very easy to do what you've called us to do, Lord. In Jesus' name, can we say amen? Amen? All together? Amen? Now look at this next one. We're going to go a couple more, another verse. Do you have your notes there? You enjoying your notes? Where's my notes? I got to make sure I do the fill in the blank. I got my notes, but not your notes. I got to make sure I do fill in the blanks. I got it. Yeah, thank you. Here, you can have this because I got mine because I wrote on it too. Yeah. You guys love Cairo? Hey, you know what? You know how Cairo got to this church? He was translated here. He just materialized one day. Like, we all looked over and Cairo was there. And he was doing everything. He's like a family group leader. He's doing sound tech, all this stuff. We're like, where in the world did this guy come from? He's just like, God just, anyway, thank you, Cairo. We appreciate it. We love you, man. All right, did you fill in the blanks? What's the first step to discipleship?
Teach. Think about this. What's the first step to discipleship? Go ahead, Todd. Oh man, you even beat me. I was gonna go to the second step, I guess. Man, did you open up a beautiful can of, not worms, something good. That smells good, looks good. The first step to discipleship is evangelism. But we're gonna talk about the greatest way to do evangelism is relationship. Now, here's the thing. Somebody can't become a follower of Jesus until they're first brought to Jesus. Doesn't that make sense? They can't decide to become a follower of disciple. That's what disciple means. An apprentice of Jesus. I'm going to learn from you, Jesus. I'm going to do what you do. Just like somebody goes to a law office and says, look, I got law school, but I still don't know what to do. I'm going to watch what you do, and then I'm going to do that same thing. That's why we clerk with people and all that stuff. That's why we have, in the medical field, what do we call them? Residents, right? And we kind of observe all of that stuff. So the reality is that before somebody becomes apprentice of Jesus, they have to be brought to Jesus. Do you know what Philip did? Philip. Philip met Jesus. And then he goes to Peter and he says, we met the Messiah. Come and see him. And he brought Peter to Jesus. Can you imagine being the person that brought Billy Graham to Jesus, who has brought millions of people to Jesus? That's what it would be like to bring Peter to Jesus. I think I would, if Jesus didn't teach me so much about humility, I would definitely brag about that. If Jesus didn't focus so much on humility, I would definitely go, I'm the one who brought Peter to Jesus, man. I'm the guy. Like, you know what Peter did? I brought him to Jesus. But Jesus taught so much about humility, we won't brag, right, on ourselves. We'll brag on him, but not on ourselves. But the reality is that's what Matthew did. You know, Matthew was like, he was despised. He was a tax collector for the Romans. He was a traitor of Israel. And yet he came to know Jesus. His life was transformed. You know what he did? He threw what some have now labeled a Matthew party. What's a Matthew party? It's a party thrown by Matthew, okay? Makes sense, right? So he invites all of his friends and all the people that he knew, all those despised tax collectors and all the people who were in it for the money. He invites all those greedy, hungry people, and he invites them over to the house, and he does it saying, guess what? I want you to meet my friend Jesus. And their lives are transformed, and they're never the same again. Maybe that's where Zacchaeus first had an encounter. I don't know. But the reality is that here's how most people, you know that most people, by the way, here's where you say in your notes, I want you to write the word stranger in that blank that's next under the word 1 Peter. I want you to write the word stranger. We're taught as children, don't talk to strangers. Well, you know what? Maybe there's something to that for evangelism. Because did you know that only 20% of people who know Jesus, who come to know Jesus, are introduced to Jesus through a stranger? A church they don't know, a television program, an evangelist, whoever it is that they don't know. That means that 80% of people that are brought to Jesus are brought to Jesus by friends and family members, okay? So those are the next two things you can fill in. Write the word stranger. Stranger is one way people come to know Jesus for salvation, but not the main way. Friends and family lead most people to Jesus. So the reality is that we need to operate in this thing called relationship. We need to depend upon our relationship with God. We also need to build relationships with other people. I remember a Chinese international student who said to a friends of ours, Carol's my friends, husband and wife, who had reached out to this student as she was studying for a PhD in Baltimore, and they just befriended her. And she started coming into their home and found out about Jesus through that, and she invited Jesus into her life. And her life was transformed, and she brought Jesus back to China. If you think Jesus is happening in the U.S., you haven't even heard about what's happening in China. I mean, it's amazing how many people are coming to know Jesus in China. Like millions and millions and millions. It's amazing what God is doing there. And she was one of the ones to bring Jesus back to her friends. And it all started through friendship here. And here's what she said to her friends after this happened. She says, you built a bridge from your heart to mine, and Jesus walked across into my life. That's called friendship evangelism, relationship, coming together with people and befriending them And then when the time's right, asking them, how can I pray for you? When the time's right, would you like to go to church with me? Hey, would you like to come over to my house and we could talk together, you know, with food, but I'd like to share my relationship with God together. Would you be open to that? All those kind of things are how we can lead people into discipleship, because the first step in leading people into discipleship is through evangelism. I gotta finish. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. We wanted to take time for this beautiful thing between Amir and Heather, so I got to make sure I don't go as long, okay, as I'm doing. So here we go. Matthew 28 is where we're leading. Read the next one, Acts 1:8. It's right there in your notes. Jesus said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So I want to say this. If you struggle with evangelism, good. I'm glad. If you don't even want to do evangelism because you're afraid of it, good. I'm glad. If you think it's hard to do evangelism, all those kind of things, and you're like intimidated by it, good. I'm glad. Because what that does is that sets you up for a miracle of God. That takes the pressure off of you to show up and achieve, and it puts it all on God, and that's where God wants it to be. Jesus said, you will witness for me. You will testify. You will share me with others. You'll tell them about what I've done in your life. You'll tell them about who I am. You'll be on the witness stand for me. You'll say, I know who he is and I know what he's done and I want you to experience the same. You'll do it, but you won't do it. Not in Jerusalem, not in Judea, not in Samaria, not in the uttermost parts of the earth. You won't do it in Washington, D.C. or Bethesda or Arlington or in the U.S. or the nations of the world. You won't do it unless you have the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit in your life and the empowerment that the Holy Spirit brings into your life. Because when Holy Spirit comes into your life, then you're not alone in evangelism. You're not alone in discipleship. You will begin to operate out of plenty instead of operating out of lack. Who do I talk to about Jesus? You don't know? God knows. How do I address them? How do I initiate? Yeah, I'm on a leash here. Did you see that? I got called back. This is done. How do I approach them? How do I initiate conversation? And you don't know how to do it? Let Holy Spirit give you the words. Let Holy Spirit empower you. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And then you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. So here's the thing. Back up to after Acts 1:8. Evangelism is expressing what I possess and how I came to possess it. So if evangelism is hard for you, maybe you're not right, like possessing enough what God has done in your life. You know, I know this. When I'm focused on what Jesus has done for me, it's easier for me to share with others what Jesus can do for them. When I'm like overjoyed, when I'm like, oh man, this is amazing. Like when I'm in prayer and I'm like, God, I thank you for your love. Your love is so awesome for me, my family, my church family. I love your love. It's awesome. Then I often pray, but oh, the world would know your love. That everyone else in this world would know your saving grace. That everyone else would know your love. The more you possess Jesus, the more you possess Holy Spirit, the more you possess the Father, the more he just spills over you on you. And you begin to just walk in a different way. You begin to act and it just begins to come naturally. Sometimes people think supernatural is not natural. But guess what? My father-in-law says that God wants to make you supernaturally natural and naturally supernatural. And it sounded better when he said it, but you get the gist, okay? So I want to say this. Fill in this next line. Talk to God about people before you talk to people about God. See, next week we're going to get into the more how-tos of discipleship and even how we do it as a church. But I want to give you some practical stuff about how to do that first step of discipleship, which is evangelism. And so here's the thing. When I'm walking around and I'm like, I don't know if I should talk to somebody about Jesus, then start praying for somebody. Just start saying, God, I see that person over there. I didn't like what they were dressed in, and they caught my eye, and they just look so weird. And I just pray, God, that you would give me your heart for them instead of my eyes lives that are so critical, and that you would help me to love them. And all of a sudden, God gives you love for them, and you begin to communicate with them. So talk to God about people before you talk to people about God. Isn't that practical? It's awesome. If you guys do this stuff, if you haven't done it before, I guarantee you, money back, guarantee. Here you go. Money back? We give you your tithe back if you tithe? I don't know. Yeah, we'll do it. I'll tell you what. Can we agree on that with the elders? We'll give you your tithe back if this doesn't work for you, okay? We'll just give it back. I'm getting in trouble right here. Next one. Focus on being saved, not getting others saved. Do you know, like some people, for all their zeal, you know there's a zeal that's not according to knowledge? There's some people that they're so excited about getting someone saved, going and witnessing and telling somebody about Jesus. They just overwhelm people. Like, can I? Kyra, I'm picking on you today. I don't want to get in trouble at home. Gotta tell you about Jesus. Gotta tell you about him. I'm really excited about him. He's gonna go like, no thanks. Thanks, but no thanks. Don't focus on getting other people saved. Focus on being saved. Jesus says this, don't rejoice that demons are subject to you in my name. Rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's book of life. I tell you, the more that you focus on what Jesus has done for you, saved you from your sin, I'm going to heaven. My sister is now 4 years in heaven. And she's in a place where they don't have timetable. They don't have it. And I know that I'm going to die. A lot of people, we don't admit it to ourselves. I'm going to die. You're going to die. Get over it. The reality is that we're going to die, but Jesus promises eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Not floating on a cloud somewhere going, I don't really know where I am, but it's better than the place that burns, you know? That's not life. That's solitude. We're going to be made for a new heaven and a new earth. There's going to be no sin, no death, no crime, no taxes, no undertakers, no hospitals. None of those are needed. I don't even have to remember my vitamins in the morning and at night. I don't have to worry about that stuff because we have eternal life in Jesus. And when you're focused on that stuff, it's easy to just go, you know what? I got something to share if you got time to listen. And I found all kinds of ways to start conversations. But you know what? We just got to let God lead us. There's some practical stuff we can go with. I'm going to give you a couple of books to read that might help you. But here's what I want to say. Last two things. Have an accurate worldview. One of the reasons why people don't evangelize is because they're so focused on this world. They think that this world is all that they should be consumed with. My job, my entertainment, my, you know, this, my that. And Jesus said this, what does it profit if you don't just gain part of it, but all of it? All of it. And then lose your own soul. And when you have that kind of eternal perspective, when you don't have this temporal focus and you're living knowing that this life doesn't last and that the greatest thing that you can do, by the way, what's one thing that you can't do in heaven that you could do here on this earth? Evangelize. Because there ain't going to be no lost people up there. There's no one to evangelize. I went out to Colorado Springs a few years ago. Carol and I went out to do this prayer thing and all that and interviewed people that had been in this church in the 1920s. It was amazing. And we had that experience. And I started witnessing to people. I just love to just engage people in conversation. And I couldn't wait to leave Colorado Springs because everyone, I'm not saying that everyone in Colorado Springs is saved, but everyone I talked to knew Jesus already. And I'm like, what am I doing here? I'm going back to Washington, D.C. There's a lot of people there that need Jesus, right? There's so many people. This is one of the most, like, secular communities all around us. People don't know they need Jesus. They don't even think about it. They just think about what they're driving, what they're wearing, what this, that opportunity, what, you know, all of they're consumed with issues and problems. This one's on drugs, all of that stuff. We got all marital issues, all that stuff. At some point we need to realize this is all going to end, but heaven is, if you measure eternity, it just boggles your mind. If you think, you know, to be without God for all eternity, I don't want to think about that. To be with God for all eternity, that's like, problem solved. And so we begin to focus on the kingdom of God. And that's the last thing that you can fill in your notes there is the kingdom of God. Just fill that in. Have an accurate worldview. Focus on the kingdom of God. And I want to give you two resources. They're not in your notes, so please write them down. There's two books that I want to recommend to you. One is by Joe Aldridge. Not Eldridge, Aldridge. Spell it phonetically and you'll get it right. Google it, it'll come, all right? Joe Aldridge, and it is called Lifestyle Evangelism. Lifestyle Evangelism. Amazon it, whatever you have to do, you know, just get it wherever, okay? By the way, best places, CBD and half.com. You want the cheapest books, Christian books and all that stuff, go to half.com. If you don't mind used books, I buy them all the time. I see a book, I'm like, I don't want to spend, I'm going to get somebody else's. They don't want it anymore. And then I get it at half.com. So do that. And CBD is the other one. Joe Aldridge, Lifestyle Evangelism. The other one is Ed Silvoso. An Argentine, Ed Silvoso, and it's called Prayer Evangelism. And those two books, it will be amazing resources for you to be able to do what God has called you to do. I want to encourage you in this. I'm going to wrap up, but I'm going to say this. This book is just a little booklet, and it's called What's Next for You and God. And it's for people who are interested in starting a relationship with God or just recently started a relationship with God. I want to make sure you get one of these at the Hospitality Center if you are new in your relationship with God. And it's a great Bible study that you could do together. Look up scriptures. It even tells you recommendations about Bible translations and prayer and all these great resources that are there. Go to our website at... Thank you, Susie. RepresentJesus.com. We have all the resources you could possibly imagine right there. RepresentJesus.com. You can get this book, but also you can get the RepresentJesus.com. And we're going to resource each other together so that we can do all that we can do. By the way, if you need help with finances, get into Life Class Financial Peace University, because we all need help with finances, investing, stuff like that. If you need help with marriage, get in the new marriage class that's going to start. We have parenting class. We have all kinds of classes that we're doing. All those things are practical for your life. But we also want to equip you for somebody else's life. Because guess what? It's not just about me. It's not just about you. It's about a world out there who needs to know Jesus, who needs to be made a follower of Jesus. And the first step to do that is by saying, come. Come and see who Jesus is. Just let me introduce you. And then when you meet him, because to know him is to love him. Can you say amen? Amir, you glad you decided to follow Jesus?
Oh, absolutely.
Now you're in a missionary family. Did you ever think you were going to be married to a missionary family? Because you know when you married her, you married her family too, right? You know that, right? Yeah, you know that, right? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We talked about that. And the same thing with Heather. You know, when you married him, you married his family. You know, the great thing is they love each other's family. I have loved how much they love each other's family. Only God can do this. Let's stand together. Let's stand together, can we? Lord, I want to give my life to you, but right now I want to... go beyond giving my life to you or my family to you. I want to give you my church family. I just have come to know these people, so many of them, so well. And I know they're here for you. I know they're here because they love you and they love who you are and what you've done in their lives. And they want to share you with others. They want to be focused on your kingdom, knowing that the kingdoms of this world come and go. And we should help every kingdom. I get that. But that there's only one kingdom that lasts forever. There's people here who literally came to this church because they were looking for a place that you were manifesting your presence, that they could walk into and say, I feel like God is being real here and being present here and doing something special here. But I also recognize that many of us have come saying we feel like there's a lot of love here that's shared, and it's beyond the pretense of this city and the pace of this city,
and people just learning how to love God and love one another, all by learning how to be loved by God, by Abba, by Father, by Jesus, by Holy Spirit. So Father, I pray that you would take us and let us be present with you, but then let us be on the move. Let us be on the go. Let us, as we're going, make disciples of all nations. And Lord, if you give us an opportunity, that we wouldn't just make disciples of people from various nations, but that we would have an opportunity to make a nation a disciple of yours. I know we can't do that as one individual church, that it's going to be a global experience, Lord. But Lord, the kingdoms of this world are going to become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And you said to not wait until the sweet by and by, but to begin to pray now, your kingdom come now. Your will be done now. So Lord, you know all the suffering going on in our lives, and the greatest suffering and the greatest injustice is to not know your salvation, to not be in relationship with you. But there are so many other social ills that come from being a sinful people. So we pray, Lord, that you would save us from our sins and you would transform our lives. That, Father God, you would take this group of people and make them a part of your DC power team, your DC love team, your DC truth team, your DC wisdom team. Make us, Lord, a part of your team in this city, that we would team up with other ministries and other churches, and we would shine your truth, God. We would shine your grace, God, in this city that you have privileged us to live in, God, for such a time as this. Father, help us to make disciples here, now, God. Help us, God, from all nations, God. We thank you for the flags that adorn our walls here in this room, God, that are representing people that worship here now and have worshiped here in the recent past. But, Lord, we want every nation's flag to be up on this wall. We want somebody from every nation, Lord, in this that lives in this city to come and receive your love, Lord, that their lives will be transformed. We pray for big, powerful nations and little, tiny nations that are suffering from inferiority complexes, that are saying, what big, significant thing do we offer this world? Lord, let them become the most powerful in your kingdom, God. Let them, Lord, you didn't focus on Rome. You focused on Bethlehem. You didn't focus on the Roman Empire. You focused on a Jewish carpenter who was born as God in the flesh, Lord. Somebody that wasn't even known, God, that has now changed the world from B.C. to A.D. Lord, we pray, God, that you would rise us up by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that even now, that as I pray, that you will begin to baptize people in your Holy Spirit, Lord. I pray that even if it's not manifested in this room, in this moment, that God, people would experience your power, Lord, as they drive home, as they wake up in the morning. Lord, that they would know that they have the power of the Holy Spirit to be a witness in this world. I pray, God, that you would release, God, supernatural gifts of language and touch, God, that we would lay hands on the sick and see them recover, that we would speak prophetically, that we would speak in other languages, God, that we would, Lord, minister in the power of your Holy Spirit. And the greatest is the power of love, Lord, that we would be inundated, immersed in your love by Holy Spirit. We pray, God, that we would have such revelation, God, that we would know your love like we've never known it before, God, and that we would know it in a way that we would be compelled to share it with everyone that you would give us the opportunity to share it with. In Jesus' name. Can we say amen, church? Would you please stay standing and just open your eyes and just look at me for a second and just say, hey, you know what? I made a decision during the course of this time to just give my life. I just start a relationship with God. And I just, what we want to do is, if that's you this morning, you just said, you know what, I just came in, I just decided I really need God. I really need a relationship with God. I just decided today I'm going to start a relationship with God. By the way, God's been waiting for you. God's love. He's been running after you for a while. He sent his son to die on the cross. It's just amazing how much God loves you.
But we want to give you that opportunity just to celebrate with anyone, just like new people that come. We want to celebrate that you're here with us. We want to celebrate. If anyone just said, I just decided this very day I want to start a relationship with God. Is there anyone? Just raise your hand if that's you. Anybody? It might be somebody that doesn't raise their hand, but if somebody did that and says, you know what? I'm not embarrassed. I'm going to say, I feel comfortable here. I'm going to raise my hand. Anyone? I just pray that anyone who didn't raise their hand, they already have a relationship with God. But if you don't, we're loving you. We're praying for you, especially even above others, that you would experience that beautiful relationship with God. Hey, God bless you guys. Have good love with one another. Fellowship with each other. Last one out. Hit the lights. God bless you.